This is Where We Meet, a program of TAS Center for the Arts. I'm Alice Morillon, and I'm here with Corelia Ortega. This program is supported by the Northern Rio Grande National Heritage Area, and this radio show is focused on Northern New Mexico itself, on its culture, traditions, current dynamics. So I'm very excited to have you here, Corelia. To give a brief introduction, you grew up in Taos, and then you left.
I grew up in Arroyo Hondo.
All right, let's be precise here. you grew up in Hondo, and then you left to study in Las Vegas, New Mexico, and you stayed there for 10 years. You did a lot of community work there already. To name a few of the jobs you had or the hats you were wearing, you were interim director of the Highland University Violence Prevention Program. You also served on the San Miguel County Health Council, the San Miguel Alcohol and Substance Abuse Coalition. You became a trainer for mental health first aid and applied suicide intervention skills training. And you organized various awareness events for all of those community needs. And then you came back to Taos, and you did some more community organizing, and you also included agriculture more in what you were up to. You're now a Town of Taos council member since 2022, and your term ends in 2025, your current term, sorry. So for these conversation purposes, I want to acknowledge your political role, but that's not necessarily the focus we're going to have today in this conversation.
Perfect.
So to go back to the beginning and this introduction, you grew up here in Arroyo Hondo, and then you came back.
Yes.
Why did you come back?
Oh my goodness, I was waiting always to come back. It wasn't my goal to actually leave Taos when I graduated high school. In fact, I stayed another year. I was a Taos High School concurrent class taker with UNM. And so my first year I spent here as a freshman, and it was the best. I saved a lot of money, got to stay living with my parents, and was introduced to a lot of great faculty at UNM. And then I decided, well, if I'm going to do college, maybe I should have a college experience. And so for me, I've always, I'm very adventurous and outgoing, but I also have really strong ties to home. So New Mexico Highlands University was just the right fit. It's only like 2 hours. It's far enough, but close enough. And so during my time there, I actually wanted to come back once I had graduated undergrad. And my mentor at the time was like, no, get a master's. It'll open doors for you. It's important. So I did. I didn't even know what a master's program or graduate program was. And 3 weeks in, I wanted to quit. I was like, nope, I want to go home. Obviously I didn't. I stuck it out. It took me probably double the amount of time to complete a graduate program, but I did it. All the while being a student, you know, I came home probably once a month. I was still involved with my family and, close, like, you know, the friendships that I had here in Taos. So for me, it was coming home was always the goal, being that it was never my initial intention to leave.
Thank you. And so what was the event? Did you finish your program and you're like, all right, I'm ready to go home? Was there anything that like prompted you to actually come back?
No, my practicum was in was for clinical psychology, and one of my sites was violence prevention work. And so I actually segued to a full-time job at Highlands. So I stayed working there for about 5.5 years. And within that stint, I actually moved to Granada, Nicaragua, and I worked and lived there for 10 months. I worked for a nonprofit, and so then I came back to Highlands, and so it was a time of transition for me and realizing, like, I had the means to come back home financially, and so it was time. So it wasn't like there was any, like I was done with anything or completed. I felt pretty content with the work I had done in building and creating a violence prevention center alongside my colleague who was the director, and she moved up. So I was like, so when I came home, I didn't know what I was going to do. And the New Mexico Aseki Association program had the Sembradores program, and that seemed most appropriate because anyone who's worked in violence prevention knows how deep emotional work it is to do, to be a victim's advocate. So I kind of counterbalanced all those years of, you know, holding people's deep trauma and translated that to working in the land and working with seeds and new growth and rebirth and working on a fallow piece of land alongside some great mentors. And so it really did, really worked itself out for 2018. I can't remember.
Yeah, no, that's a perfect segue into the next question I wanted to ask, which is you came back to Taos and you did some agricultural work around then. So the Sombra Rice program you mentioned is a program of the New Mexico Acequia Association, but you've also worked and you might still be working with Alianza Agricultura de Taos, and you've been involved with the local chapter of the Young Farmer National
Young Farmer Coalition.
Thank you. And I wonder if you can talk of the importance of agriculture in general, and then it's relevant specifically for northern New Mexico.
Well, there's nothing stronger in our personal autonomy than knowing how to cultivate our own food. So, like, whether you are employed or not, or you have a car or not, whether you have the extra funds to buy food, like being able to grow your own food is a level of freedom, but it is also privileged, because we know that land access is really difficult. We know that water rights for growing food is really expensive. So there is privilege in that. However, when we start learning how to just grow in with what we have, where we're at, whether you're in an apartment or you have a big backyard or maybe live on a great acreage, you do have to start somewhere. And so just knowing that sense of self-sustainability of having your own food, but it's also it's just a different way of learning and understanding where you are in a space. So whether you live in Hondo or Rancho or you're in Cerro, when you choose to grow food, you learn more about the weather. You learn more about water and soil and natural habitat and animals. And so in that way, it's a much bigger gift. So yeah, with National Young Farmer Coalition, a lot of our work has definitely been about land access on a federal level as we look at the Farm Bill and ensuring that there's equitable access for historically marginalized communities. So that was on my radar for 2 years. I did a lot of national advocacy, flying to DC and talking about these issues with our elected officials, especially in a place like Taos where property values are so high, and to be able to purchase any piece of ag land with water access is, you can be easily paying $500,000 to several million dollars. And so there's that piece. And then my other I don't work with Alianza Agricultura anymore, but ironically, I was also doing a lot of land linking with folks and connecting people with land, property, with young and new farmers, because the next generation of farmers don't have land access, and many of us have a lot of student loan debt. So that's kind of what I've been passionate about on the peripheral. But during COVID in 2020, I'm close neighbors to the Talpa Community Center, or my neighbors are always there. And so when the director was talking about food access on the south side of town, because for those listening, there's the closest place to buy food, I think, is a Dollar General. Like, there's no fresh fruit and veggies. So she thought, like, I've always wanted to have a market. And I said, well, why don't we? And so in 2020, we launched our first market. We maybe had 3 or 4 vendors. And now in 2023, we have anywhere from 18 to 21 vendors. And so we're connecting neighbors and having confidence to sell excess food that they grow, or they've never thought about selling their food, and just really encouraging folks to get out there. And it's affordable. It's only $10 a table. It's not cost prohibitive. It's easy to sign up. And you can feel the difference in a community-led market. Everyone's really excited to see each other. The products vary. And so in that way, I think that's the full picture of how I've been involved in ag.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, it sounds from the numbers you just gave for the Talpa community market, mm-hmm. That you have had pretty good success getting vendors definitely. Over. What has been the community response to this market? Have you, like, yeah.
Oh my gosh, people are so excited. And granted, we're a Friday market, so a lot of folks kind of get bummed out that we're on a Friday, but most of us are volunteers and we're operating within the graciousness of the community center that allows us to be there. But people are just so excited because I'm sure at some point in recent decades, it would have been very standard and normal to be trading with neighbors, bartering, to be purchasing products from the people who live closest to you, and that there's been a lull in that. So now people are coming out and they want to see, and they get to talk about, like, oh, my cucumbers did great. Oh, my tomatoes were the worst. Or this year it was a huge fruit year. I think we had so many neighbors with an abundance of fruit. And so you hear, you know, several few generations older than me talking about how they're preserving and how they can and how they dehydrate and how they create all this value added product. And so in that way, it's just like this huge sharing space of information, and people are just really happy to be together. And we have some picnic tables and a portal, and there's we have, actually my mom plays her accordion. We'll have musicians every now and then. We have a playground. And so it is a place in the summer where people get to stop and spend several hours buying the things, but mostly visiting.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that and for making that happen. I feel like that leads pretty well to the notion of connection. I feel like a lot of your work is actually connecting people with one another, connecting mm-hmm. them with resources, connecting them with opportunities. And I wonder if you agree with that vision that I have of your work. and really, what is the value that you see in bringing those connections of things or people that already exist in this community? Why is that important to connect things together and people?
Yeah. Well, there's the human component that we're all social animals, that when we're separated and isolated, that's when people experience disease and their mental health plummets. And so by connecting people in ways that maybe we didn't even think, like oftentimes we think they have to be these formal processes with perhaps therapists or doctors, which are obviously great resources. And it's as simple of knowing every Friday I can go to a place and talk about tomatoes. Maybe you really love tomatoes, or maybe it's a place where you get to go see a bunch of puppies or kids playing. And so the connection is made over something as small as woodworking and a skill set that intrigues someone. And so those connections, they buffer our well-being. They help us navigate our tough days. And when it seems like it's all overwhelming, too much, we have in our mind people that we look forward to seeing. And that in and of itself, I think, is a very huge protective factor and something Talcenos have a strength. Like we have, it's a huge asset. And then also there's the connections of economy, like connecting people who have shared ideas and ideals about how they can co-create something. And maybe that results in a product or some sort of community activity or a project that wouldn't have happened otherwise, because a market is a very specific way of meeting people. It's not a bar. It's not at a restaurant. Like, you know, it's free to hang out there. No one has to pay unless you're going to be a vendor. But in terms of who gets to show up, can be anybody. And we have Rancho's elementary students that show up, and they're amazing, and they're so excited. And I mean, they're touching everything, and they want to taste everything, and they're genuinely excited to meet their neighborhood farmers. And that's a connection for farmers to even feel like appreciated. That people in their community care, like, what? How did you grow all those snap peas? How do onions grow? How does garlic do it? You know, because that's the joy kids give us. So I guess I do see myself as a connector, because I was once a new person in a new community in Las Vegas, and I would not have stayed there as long as I did if I didn't feel like I belonged in the community and that I was connected to all these meaningful outlets of uplifting neighbors, of meeting needs, and feeling valued. So, you know, it was done for me when I was somewhere else. So went back here in my hometown. I want to provide that same level of welcoming and excitement and, yeah, and meeting neighbors I've never met.
Well, we appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, certainly.
You're so welcome.
And I think in many ways that's connected to the work that has been led in Taos since 2020 about the 100% community mm-hmm. initiative. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about this program for people out there who may not know about it, kind of give the big picture. I know it's big, big picture,
yeah.
but like a small big picture of this and really what it's thriving to achieve.
Sure. And I mean, if we look at Taos County and we look at vital services like access to healthcare, to a community school, transportation, all these vital services, can we say that 100% of our community has access to them? And by and large, many people would say no, like maybe we're able to engage 80% of our community, maybe it's 60%. And so the vision with 100% community is exactly that. Like, how do we have 100% of our community members feel capable and able to access vital services? Because it's just not enough to have a resource in a community anymore, because if no one is using it or they don't know it exists, then it doesn't have the impact it's been intended to have. And so there's been a huge group of us. This was first led at Taos Pueblo. They piloted it and have shared the blueprint, so to speak, with the greater Taos County community. And so it's not necessarily about reinventing or creating new systems of support. It's really supporting and it's about reinvesting and committing to folks who are already doing the work and expanding those efforts so that 100% of our community members have access to those. So during COVID, you know, we spent a lot of time thinking of like where all of our strengths are, who we know doing work, who is doing the work, and what work isn't taking place. And in that way, we do identify gaps and attempt to use our, you know, leverage community resources to fill those gaps. So you can check out the website. We have other, you know, San Miguel County in Las Vegas, they too also have 100% community initiative. And so just seeing throughout the state counties who are seeing this model of, this is how 100% of people can have their needs met. And seems simple, but in reality, you know, like, do all our neighbors have 100% access to public transportation? No. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Thank you. And is that a program that you mentioned, San Miguel County, is that all over New Mexico, or is it only in New Mexico? Like, where does this initiative come from? And
it comes out of New Mexico State University, and I actually forget how many counties are now involved, but there's definitely several handfuls of counties that are pursuing this model and leveraging county, town, and state collaboration to get these vital services met.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course.
All right, we're just about to run out of time.
Okay.
But before we do, I've got a couple more questions for you.
Sure.
One of them is, we've heard a lot about different aspects of the work you do in community here. Before mm-hmm. we sat down, you were talking about your role with the Taos schools and the mm-hmm. community school mm-hmm. Dynamic going on. And I wonder if you could tell us, if you could summarize, I don't know if it's a summary, or if you could tell us what your vision for Taos or for the work that you're doing is. What's your dream here?
Oh, I have so many big dreams. Like, it's so, let me think. Yeah, my goal, and it, I mean, this isn't even my idea. It's like a very common theme of a lot of people who've done a lot of organizing and coordinating in social justice spheres is that every community, as many obstacles and issues they face, that same community has the solutions. And so for me, it's like my vision that Tausenos know that their power and that their ability to create change and be part of change is very much within all of us. Because oftentimes, especially growing up, I remember that the experts or the professionals who knew what was best for us were often people from somewhere else who were culturally tone deaf or who were unrealistic in their implementation. And the results weren't always actually what a community wanted. And so I feel community solutions already lie within us. It takes leaders to listen and to prioritize, which is so hard because there's so many things that are important and funding's always limited. But the notion of like coalitions for these broader themed topics of what's important, and most of them are related to social issues, because injustice isn't on accident. Like, there's a reason why there's inequality, and it takes so many people within a system and outside of a system to create change. And so my dream for Taos is that these solutions that we dream about daily, because I'm sure, at least if I asked you, like, what would you dream about changing or changing a certain facet about being a young person here in Taos? I'm sure you would have several, and all of us have those ideas. And it's really like, okay, how do we synthesize great ideas? How do we synthesize funding for those ideas? Because I want Taos to always be a place where young people know they belong here, where kids feel that their futures reside here, that our elders feel taken care of. And I mean, the cost of living is always on everyone's mind. And like, I believe we have solutions to mitigating a lot of the constant disparity that we see, because every day I see people doing remarkable work. I'm like, wow, I didn't know someone was doing that work in our hometown. And if we just had stronger connections from one side of the county to the other, we'd realize that there are people who are stepping up in brave new ways, and maybe they've been doing it their whole life. And maybe now, you know, and so that's the dream, is that like we all can be interdependent, we can be brave, and we don't leave anybody behind. Because when we look at gaps in our community, they can be so big, and in the same breath, there is so much generosity and willingness for people to give what they have, and whether it's everything or a little bit, like, that it still exists for us in Taos. And I don't want us to ever forget that's a value of our community for so long, for so many generations, and that's going to continue into the future. So yeah,
thank you.
Of course, that's
quite a beautiful vision. I would love to see that you know, coming true. Yeah. And I appreciate all the work you're doing towards that. If somebody out there hearing you is like, I want to step forward and I want to do that work to help our community, what would you suggest they do?
Oh my goodness. And this comes up quite often because Taos does not have like a storing house of how to connect people together or how to bring, like, where do you plug yourself in? So, I mean, if you're online and on social media, which, you know, all of us need to manage our time on it. Obviously, there's a lot of pages with, you know, specific focus groups, so you can always find those spaces, but not everyone is online. And so maybe it is putting a flyer up in your post office or at SIDS, or create an invitation to meet other people. And we have a lot of great public spaces. You can do that at the Taos Public Library, the Youth and Family Center, when it's warm outside, any park. Obviously, always thinking about safety, but just make an ask, make a question to see who else cares about this, who else is interested. Because I know volunteering, like we have such a huge volunteer group. Like if you're service oriented, obviously we have the Lions Club, the Rotary Club. All of our churches who mobilize for every holiday to ensure everyone has a meal, like those are the places you can go to. The Ag Center, TCEDC, like there's all these nonprofits who just have people doing this work. So it's hard because like if you're new to here, you're not going to know the one-on-one way to be connected because we're still very much an analog community in that way. So subscribe to the newspaper. Didn't think I'd do a plug, but you know, you'll see a lot of, you know, go to community events, be willing to get out of your comfort zone, and because otherwise you won't know. And I myself in a year have been in so many new spaces that I'm like, oh my gosh, this is exciting. I obviously can't volunteer for everything, but the work I have been able to do, I'm like, oh, like reading with kids, that's my jam. I love it. So, message people, ask.
Thank you. Well, that's a lot of resources that you threw out there. I think that's hopefully enough for someone to be like, all right, I'm going to grab that one and run with it.
Yeah.
Cornelia, thank you so much. I don't know if you want to add a last word before we wrap up.
No, I'm excited about your series. This is really fun.
Thank you. We're so glad to have you. And again, this is the Taos Center for the Arts radio show. It's called Where We Meet, and we talk about Northern New Mexico culture, artists, traditions, practices, current dynamics. And it is supported by the Northern Rio Grande National Heritage Area. Thank you for listening. I'm Alice Morillon, and we'll see you soon.